ויסעו מאילים, ויבוא כל אדם בני ישראל למדבר סין אשר בין אילים ובין סיני, בחמישה עשר יום לחודש השני לצאת מארץ מצרים. So now, that particular day, חמישה עשר יום לחודש השני, happens to be a, well, some think it's a holiday on the calendar today. That's Pesach Sheni. Now, whether Pesach Sheni is a holiday or not is something which is debated. I will point out, being that Tu B'Shvat is this coming week, and Tu B'Shvat is another day which is not really a holiday, that people think is a holiday. So on Pesach Sheni is not brought in the Shulchan Aruch not to say Dachanun. The Shulchan Aruch, and if you want to know the answer to the question, where do you find Tu B'Shvat in the Shulchan Aruch? So the only place you find Tu B'Shvat is by Hilchot Tachanun. Hilchot Tachanun is where you'll find it. And by Tu B'Shvat, there was actually an argument. There was machloket whether you say Tachanun or not say Tachanun. Today it's become a major holiday. There's even a Seder that you have, which some people may or may not know. Most likely has its sources among the followers of Shabtai Tzvi. But
don't say that.
Our sources where?
Anyway, in Friday's post, I have an article on this, so you can read what you want.
Yeah,
it's called unsurprisingly Disconstructing Tu B'Shvat. Okay. Deconstructing.
Rabbi Reichman
can do what he wants. He wants to follow the Minhag Shabtai Tzvi. There are many Jews who did that. Of course, people have no idea where things come from. Let me just point out something. I don't remember my parents ever doing it. I don't think their parents ever did it. I don't think their parents ever did it. Right, of course not. So now you have to ask, so where did this come from? So I know exactly where it came from. And the book that it comes from actually has poems with the acrostic which spell out Nathan from Gaza. Those of you, Nathan from Azo, Gaza, who was a student of Shabtai Tzvi. Anyway, someone's not happy with what I said. Now, we'll come back to this date in a second. When it comes to Pesach Sheni is not introduced as of this point, because they just had Pesach Rishon, which everybody, I guess whoever left, had participated in. By the next year, there's going to be the intrigue, and then Pesach Sheni will only be for those who missed Pesach. So the question is, do they miss Pesach because there was no Beit HaMikdash, or they miss Pesach because there was a Beit HaMikdash, which means exactly how does it work? Either way, it seems to be that Pesach Sheni is only for those who didn't bring the Korban, who could have brought the Korban. If that's the case, there's no such thing as Pesach Sheni today. Because there's no Korban that people had missed. Consequently, it's not written in the Shulchan Aruch not to say Tachanun, and therefore the Chazon Ish, therefore the Chazon Ish said Tachanun on Pesach Sheni. Because it's not, there's no place for it that you shouldn't say it. On the other hand, there just seems to be the sense, especially in the Zohar, there's a lot about Pesach Sheni. They turn it from a one-day holiday into a seven-day holiday and so on. Yeah.
Of the dawning, some people were not to the harabayas and the cream.
Right, but that's not but that's still not really relevant to the point of how Pesach Sheni works.
No, it's not totally.
I understand, but it really is otherwise. As a matter of fact, the Yerushalmi asked the question: if the Beit HaMikdash is built between Pesach Sheni Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Do you bring a Pesach Sheni? Is Pesach Sheni for individuals or for the entire Tzibur? So it seems to be that Pesach Sheni was never for the Tzibur. It's only for individuals. It doesn't make sense that a Tzibur should happen. Anyway, push that aside. So this date is Pesach Sheni. So if you want to know what did they do on Pesach Sheni, well, here's a little ironic. They ran out of matzah. So the one thing they didn't do was to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni. Okay, just to point out. So the first Pesach Sheni, which was not called Pesach Sheni, nobody ate matzah. Where that minhag came to eat matzah from, it comes from certain Hasidic sources where they make a big deal about eating matzah on Pesach Sheni. But it's also very funny because Pesach Sheni is actually the night before and they eat it the next day. I have no idea why. Let's get...
Sure?
What could it take long to make? I think some housewives made this up to get rid of the leftover matzah. A month after Pesach. It's a month later. No. It's a month later. Okay. So for those of you who like to complain, that's what happens here. So, again, first year, second month, 15th of the month, which therefore means they carry out enough matzah with them, enough dough with them. You don't need all that, right? To last. Okay. Vayalinu, and you can understand that. Vayilonu kol adat b'nei Yisrael al Moshe v'al Aaron. Vayilonu kol adat b'nei Yisrael al Moshe v'al Aaron b'midbar. The people complained. Now pay attention. The focus of the complaint is Moshe and Aaron. And they say, "Vayomer leim bnei Yisrael, mi yitein mutenu biyad Hashem? Had we only died by the hands of God?" Now that of course is very interesting. Now we know, any of us who've like sneaked a peek ahead, we know that over the next 40 years, there's going to be a lot of complaining, right? Who do they complain about, and what's the focus of the complaint? You need to pay attention each time. Here's the first time. This is it. Who are they complaining about? Moshe and Aaron. Why did you take us out? Now. And then, now notice how they try to, you know, draw a wedge here between Moshe and Aaron and God. Why did you take us out? We would have rather died at the hand of God. You know, some kind of a holy death at the hand of God back in Egypt. I mean, God is okay, you're not okay. So that's what they seems to be they're trying to say. Bishivtenu al sir habasar. And now, for the first time, and we're going to hear these kinds of things many times, they start to get nostalgic about how wonderful it was in the concentration camps back in Egypt, which is really just unbelievably preposterous. But remember how our masters used to, Sir HaBasar, Bechleinu Lechem Lesova. You know, the only thing is that I'm happy this time they talk about bread and meat. I guess they wanted sandwiches. At least they weren't waxing poetic about the cucumbers. I mean, that's where they lost me when they started, you know, saying kishuim. I whatever. We'll stop right now.
Just a quick cultural question: if Mitzrayim had so many gods that were animals, what meat? What did the Mitzrayim eat?
I don't know. I have no idea how to answer you. I have no idea how to answer you. It could be even though they thought they were holy, doesn't mean they wouldn't have eaten them. Meaning, don't assume that the way that India behaves, that they necessarily behave. Could be they ate it anyway. Could be they thought it was a holy thing to eat it. I have no idea.
Maybe only the Jews ate it.
Or maybe they ate it when it was dead. They didn't kill it. I don't know. Okay, let's continue. Ki hotseitem otanu. Notice who took you took us out. They didn't read the Haggadah. Lo yodei malach, lo yodei tzrof. Right, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ki hotseitem otanu ela midbar hazeh, lahamit et kol kahal hazeh b'ra'av. So therefore, leaving Egypt was actually a plot. It was a plot designed to kill all the Jews by starvation. Vayomer Hashem Moshe. So now God responds and says, "Hineni mamtir lachem lechem min hashamayim." I'm giving you, and I think the phrase here is very interesting. I'm giving you what God is calling lechem min hashamayim. I'm giving you bread from heavenly bread. V'yotza ha'am v'loktu dvar yom biyomo leman anasenu ha'ylech b'toroti imlo. I'm doing this in order. It's very interesting. The people will then go out and collect, and that's also something I want to come back to. Hopefully we'll have time, that the people need to be involved as well. Devar yom biyomo, on a daily basis, in order that I test them. Heleth b'dorti imlo, are they following my statutes or lo? Now, we have no idea what the test is. We have no idea what the focus is, what the point is, what exactly is the issue over here. And there's also other things which are missing. But he continues, Kodesh Baruch continues and says, Vayav yom hashishi, and on the sixth day, So now you have to decide, is that part of the test or is that not part of the test? Is this something additional or is this exactly the point? They should then prepare what they bring. And then they will get a double portion of what they normally get on the daily basis otherwise. And with that, the divine word ends. So of course something important is missing here, or it sounds like it's missing here. And what's that? So what happens on the seventh day? Which means we went through the week, what happens on the seventh day? And that's really what I want to talk about today, the seventh day. But that's where it stops. Now there was another thing which was missing over here, and that was any reference whatsoever to meat. The only thing that was discussed here was lechem in Hashemayim. But then, listen to the way that Moshe and Aaron then talk to the people. Vayomer Moshe ba'Aaron al kol b'nei Yisrael, erev, v'yadatem ki Hashem otzi etchem eretz Yitzrayim. In the evening is going to come and you're going to know that God is the one that took you out. So now we realize that's exactly the argument over here. Who took them out? The Jews are saying, you took us out because you wanted to kill us. And Moshe and Aaron are saying, no, God took you out. Continue. Uvoker, and meaning by the evening you'll know what's referring. What's going to happen in the evening? We don't know yet. Uvoker re'item et kod Hashem b'shemo et tlunoteichem, and in the morning you're going to see the glory of God who has heard your complaints al Hashem that you're complaining about God. By the way, you notice it's Moshe l'shitata. Moshe is saying you're complaining about God. You're not complaining about us, right? V'nachnu makitalinu aleinu, and why are you complaining about us? V'yomer Moshe b'teit Hashem lachem ba'erev basar le'echol v'lechem ba'boker l'sivoa v'shmo Hashem etlunoteichem asher atem elinim alav. In the evening you're going to get meat. So as I said again, that was no reference was made to that. In the morning you're going to get bread. Why? Because God has heard your complaints that you're complaining about Him, alav. V'nachnu ma lo aleinu tlunoteichem ki al Hashem. And your complaints are not against us, against God. It's very interesting how hard Moshe is working at this point to deflect any of the complaint against him. And again, I don't think Moshe is doing this in any kind of a selfish way. That Moshe is upset, they're complaining. Meaning he's saying, God took you out. I think Moshe, again, I really believe that this is not Moshe trying to protect his position as leader as much as Moshe is trying to give credit to God because God is the one who took you out. And what are you talking about? V'yom Moshe el Aaron imro kol adam ben Yisrael kirvo lefnei Hashem ki shema et tlunoteichem. Come in front of God because God heard your complaints. Now you noticed the word complaint has come up already half a dozen times. V'yehi k'dvar Aaron kol adam ben Yisrael v'yifnu el midbar v'hinei kavod Hashem nirab anan. And as Aaron is speaking, we have some kind of divine sign. So perhaps that's exactly what they're referring to. Then you'll know. V'yidbar Hashem el Moshe le'mor. Shamati etzlunam b'nei Yisrael deber leim leimor. This is what you should say to them, which is now very interesting, because Moshe seems to be leading, and Moshe is the one who's saying there's going to be meat. So God seems to agree. Here you have an example. Tzadi goes over Kodesh Baruch Hamakayim. Moshe said there's going to be meat. God said, okay, you put meat on the menu, I'll provide meat. Right? So what does he say? Deber leim leimor. Bein ha'arbayim. When is Bein ha'arbayim? When is Bein ha'arbayim? Okay, so it's not the okay, it's not the morning. Okay, not in the morning, and maybe not the night. Late afternoon, you can decide exactly when it was. Bein harbayim tochlu basar. So here's a mucker if you ever have an argument when you should have your meat meal. Should it be in the afternoon or the evening? So here we have. Here we see about that it's in the evening.
Okay.
But over here, it seems to be okay. So we won't be able to prove it after mincha. But it seems to be they only ate two meals, so we're not going to be machmir like that. Uvaboker tisbeu lachem. In the evening you'll have the meat, in the morning you will have the bread. Which means, again, God originally only spoke about the lechem and Hashemayim, so now we got the meat into the menu as well. V'yihi erev, and the evening came about, v'tal haslav v'tichas et hamachaneh. So quails, apparently they're quails, filled up the entire camp. U'v'boker hayta shichvat etal saviv l'machaneh. In the morning there was this whole... how should we call it? There was something dew-like which had covered the field of the entire camp. I don't know what it is anyway, so, but it looked like that. Which is either a question or a statement, depending on which of the commentaries you look at. Some want to say it's Egyptian for something, for bread. Manhu, ah, the bread is here, the delivery truck came. Set on the side, you don't have to be Jewish to eat, you know, Levi's or whatever.
Yes, I want to prove I'm Jewish. I have a complaint.
Already?
Yeah, I don't.
The microphone.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it could be, I know it's me, it's not a person.
You have to put the thing on high.
That's the problem.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for me too.
What?
No,
okay,
I'm
kidding. Okay.
What pasuk are you?
I don't know anymore. Yudalit. But ta'al shichvat ha'tal, we read that already, right? Yes. Tetvav. But Yerubin Yisrael, we saw that also. Why send me back there? Hu halechem asher natan Hashem lachem la'ochla. But Yom HaMoshe, Moshe said, hu halechem. What is it? Or it's man? And the response of Moshe is, that's the bread that God gave you to eat. Zed debar asher tzivah Hashem l'ktumi menu ish lefi ochlo. Now this may be the test that was referred to earlier. Collect it, each person, according to how much they eat. But then it defines how much that is. Their rations. Omer lugulgolet, mispar nafshotayim ish lasher ba'oalot ikafel. The men folk are supposed to go out and hunt and gather and bring back the food for the rest of the family. And how much should they bring back? They bring back according to the people in the family. Vayasuchem b'nei Yisrael. They followed instructions, Vayulkitu, Hamarbe, Vamam Eid. And they went and they did this likita, they collected it. Vayomadu ba'omer, Velohi gifamarbe, Vamayid, Lohi chzir, Ishlatiyachlo lakotu. Even though some tried to take more and some tried to take less, when they actually looked at it, it didn't work because it all came the exact same thing. Trying to take more just didn't work. Trying to take less didn't work. They all ended up getting the same thing. Vayomar Moshe Lehim, Ish al yoter mimeni, mimenu, Adboki. He says that you should not leave anything over until the morning. So, of course, below Shanu. So, this is already the second time they're not listening. The first time they're not listening is, this is the amount to take, not more, not less. Second thing is, no leftovers. I'm sure Moshe said something like, there are people starving in China, make sure that you finish it. You always wondered where that came from. So, that's where it was.
It came from my mother.
Personally, I always felt just like, let's send it to them. I mean, you know what? Let's not even make it. Let's send them, especially canned vegetables. Send them straight to China. V'lo sham'u el Moshe, and they didn't listen to Moshe. V'yatiru anashim imen ad boker, v'yarem tola'im v'yavash, and it of course went off. V'yitzof aleihem Moshe, and Moshe got quite upset with them. So again, there was something over here that was supposed to be the test. If the test was take the right amount, they didn't take the right amount. If the test was not to leave over, they left over. So far, they're not doing that well in terms of following instructions. I think some of you are not surprised at this whatsoever. But you could do also boker. But this part they did do. What did they do? They collected on a daily basis. Ish kefi ochlo, v'cham ha-shemesh v'namas, v'yihi b'yom ha-shishi, Now, there is two different ways of understanding this. One is that they just saw there was a lot more and they took two, but that would be a problem, because how can they take more? They were told not to take more. And you'll notice that though God said to Moshe, there will be double, we never noticed that Moshe had actually communicated this. Hashem said it, but not to the people, to Moshe. So we never noticed that was said over to the people. So there are those who want to understand the people collected the regular amount. Remember we saw before, if you collected more, collected less, it was the same amount. So now they collected, this is a simple behavior modification, right? So they knew now, but they've been doing this for a couple of days, they all took the exact amount, they come home, and on the first day, if you had too much, it became less, too little, it became more. And now they come home and they notice that it all became a double package. So now they look there twice as much. So what's going on? Right?
What do you mean? They didn't take twice as much?
As I said, there's two different ways of understanding it. One way of understanding is they took twice as much. Other ways they didn't, which then keeps it in line with what we had seen earlier. They told Moshe. Again, the question is, are they asking? Or they? So you can decide which way you want to understand that pasuk. But Yomor Layim, Hu Asher Diber Hashem Shabbaton Shabbat Kodesh L'Hashem Bachar. That's what God was referring to when he says that it's Shabbat. Now that phrase is a little troublesome. Why is the phrase troublesome? Because there's been no mention of Shabbat, right? Okay, let's go all the way back. From the beginning of the Torah till this point, there has been a mention of Shabbat. In which context? God created in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Since then, we've had no mention of Shabbat whatsoever. Matter of fact, from what we read in the beginning of Bereshit, the description there is totally, let's think of the right word, we'll call it totally theocentric or God-involved. It has nothing to do with man. There's no commandment in the beginning of Bereshit. There's no place that it says, and therefore man must do this. Shabbat is not something which is a universal concept that all of mankind should keep God. Quite the opposite, the Gemara says, that there's a problem with people keep Shabbat who are not necessarily commanded to do it. So what's interesting is that there's no statement at the beginning of Bereshit that God created on 6 days, rested on the seventh, and therefore man keeps Shabbat. No statement like that. So here is the first time we're finding that a reference to Shabbat. Now, if we want to start looking in Midrashim, we can find them all over the place. You want to find references to perhaps others who may have kept Shabbat till now, but what I'm pointing out is, where is the first time we have man keeping Shabbat, and this is it right over here, in the...
When they were slaves, did they have one day?
We'll get to Egypt, we'll get to any place you want. All that I'm mentioning is that it's not written in the Chumash at any place till now. You can tell me all kinds of places. I mean, obviously, Avram kept Shabbos. He kept Pesach. He certainly kept Shabbos. If he didn't keep Shabbos, he couldn't drink wine because his wine would have been from somebody who didn't keep Shabbos. So, of course, he kept Shabbos. Right? If Yaakov wore a hat, then Avram certainly kept Shabbos. Okay?
Rabbeinu Tam. You can't tell from that because it could have been Mavushal.
You thought it was Mavushal, okay.
That's not called wine.
Okay.
Touche.
Let's continue. So now we have Shabbat being introduced. And I said that's what's interesting. Vayomer Leim Hu Asher Diber Hashem. So when did God say this? So did God communicate this to Moshe? And did Moshe communicate to the people? Do the people know about this, not know about this? What's going on? And let's listen again. Vayomar Leim Hu Asher Diber Hashem Shabbaton Shabbat Kodesh LaShem Machar, tomorrow, et asher ta'ofu efu ve'et asher tevashlu b'sheilu et kol ha'odef hinichu l'mishmeret ad boker. So I just want to point out that Shabbat becomes special in a couple different ways. One is here you do take more, unlike what we saw earlier. Two, you do leave it over, unlike what you did on the other days. So therefore, the whole month experience, and on Shabbat, of course, nothing falls. So the whole month experience, if you were to ask me, so what is it doing? It sounds as if, and I want to be careful here, it sounds to me, in the most general sense, it's there to get us to trust God. Right, I'm just saying right there, to trust God. Again, here you have a whole bunch of people who leave Egypt and they start complaining and pointing fingers at Moshe and Aaron. And over here we have a very interesting exercise which brings all the focus on God. By the way, to what extent that if you wanted to see where your food is coming from, so what do? You have to look up. Right? The Slav are coming from up, and the Mun is going to be coming from up, which means it's Lechem min HaShamayim. So over here, the focus seems to be of one where we learn how to, you know, maybe if you have a nation of people who are stiff-necked, they need to do this kind of exercise and be able to look up. It will help develop good...
I'm going to have to try that.
You should. No, I'm being very serious about this, that their problem was that they weren't looking up. Their problem is they're looking at Moshe and Aaron. And over here, within this message, now they have to start looking heavenward. So there's something which is interesting about that. I'm saying that in the general sense. But in the specific sense, we have something else which is being introduced now, and that is this concept of Shabbat. That now...
Is this more maturation process? As a kid, you say it's his fault, it's his fault, it's his fault. And as you go ahead and you understand the miracles of life, then you look up. So it's on the trail slowly pointing fingers at Moshe and Aaron, because who else are they going to point to?
I agree with you 100% that there is a process which is going on over here. I once asked Rabbi Soloveitchik if he thought the 40 years in the desert was somehow connected to the 40 days of Yetzirat Havlad, just as a model. So as he was wont to do sometimes, as you would know very well, completely ignored the question and said something else. And he talked about maturation in the sense of developing morality. And it was right after Sabra and Shatila. And he said, maturity, what kind of maturity do they have in Israel? He goes, and he went on a whole speech about that, and he said, we have collective responsibility, and it's a chil. That's all that he wanted. Obviously, that was on his mind. And he said that we'll have to add a new al-chait. We're going to have to say al-chait, that we, he goes, for murder. He goes, Jews have never done murder before, now we're responsible for murder. And he did worse than any UN commission on this. But I said, I only asked you about the 40. Did it make a difference? That was the, again, this was a private conversation. This was like one of these after Shir walking back to the apartment, and this is right.
The question didn't matter.
He wanted to say this, and then he walked into the apartment, and that was it. But I agree with you completely. And matter of fact, there's an Alshich which is interesting that says that at the end of this week's parsha, Moshe is going to hit the. He'd be told to hit the rock. And later on, Moshe is going to get into trouble because God never said, Simon says. And says, pick the rock, and never said, take the stick, we never said to hit it. That's it, you can't. So what happens? The Alshul says that when kids are young, sometimes you have to use force. When they get older, then you have to speak to them. So Am Yisrael in the very beginning of the Midbar, so he says that, that Moshe takes the stick, and you know, you have to show force and show things, be very demonstrative. But later on, they should have been far more mature. So if you want to add somebody who I think very much appreciated your comments, so that's the Alshul says it right there. You'll buy that. Okay. So let's continue. Vayomer l'Moshe diber, right? Pasuk of Gimel Kaf Dalet Vayin, right? So it's also interesting that there was no mention earlier about preparing it. This is the first time we find any preparation with the man in terms of cooking and roasting and seasoning and so on. That the first 6 days it never said that. It just seems to be that they ate it. Okay, but now I would assume, you know,
that's not the slav. You have to cook the bird.
No, this is talking, now it's talking about the man.
Eich asher tofu, you can bake it. Eich asher tevashlu baslav.
No, not bashelu. Bashelu, cook.
Bashelu.
Yeah.
Good shot, though.
Now, this is talking about you decide how you want to prepare it, which you never mentioned preparing the man before, so now you want your source for chillens or something, for hot food. They weren't karayim, they had to have hot food. So here you see. Of course, what's interesting is that they have no laws of Shabbat yet, at least as far as we know, and this is the only law of Shabbat that we're aware of.
But there are two laws here.
Yeah?
One you can't pick, the other you can't cook it.
We'll get to another one then. Okay, we'll get to another one then.
You can't go.
Okay, that we'll get to in a moment. It's kol ha'odei v'nichol l'chemishmeret ad boker. And now you can leaf over to the morning, which goes against what we had previously seen. V'nichol oto ad boker. They left over to the morning. Kasher tiva Moshe. V'lo hi v'shvrima lo itabo. And then it didn't get spoiled on the seventh day, which is a skula. I think this was an important skula throughout the generations of the food from Shabbos. I told you once. I have a book at home called it's Chinuch Hayiladim, something I think that's the name. It's written by a Satmar Chassid, and he talks about all kinds of laws of Chinuch and at what age and how and when and why. So he gets to the all important question that should from what age or should you be mechanich somebody before bar mitzvah to eat cholent. So he says, of course you have to. of course you have to, you know, be mechanech samatin cholent. And he writes, because the kore emuna there, it has the very basis of the Jewish faith, is the cholent. So I was wondering what it was. So I had a couple thoughts. One is that when a person makes cholent, so more often than not, it will be the woman of the house. She displays a great deal of faith. She puts all the things in the pot, and it's going to work out. It's this unbelievable emuna that you put it in, everything's going to work out. You don't stir it, you don't taste, you don't this and that. So it shows. Cholent, therefore, is emuna. On the other hand, I made reference to the Karayim. The Karayim would not use any heat on Shabbat. So here, it really is a polemic against the Karaites. So therefore, the fact that you have to cook. Then I came to the realization that when you eat cholent and you go to sleep, you really believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim. And therefore, that may be what really the Satmar, because he said the Satmar Rebbe told you, that was really the Satmar Rebbe, that Ikari and Muna are involved in eating the cholent. So we see that this goes, yes or no? Yeah, so you see over here already that they made their cholent over here. Good. Continue. But we had a problem. What's the problem? Pasuk Kaf Hei. Vayomer Moshe Ichlu Hayom Ki Shabbat Hashem Hayom. So they're saying Zemirot also, if you notice. That's Ki Shabbat Hashem Hayom. Hayom Lo Timsu B'Sadeh. Today is Shabbat, so clearly law stated, right? You got double. You can leave it over. The rules we've had are broken. Don't go out. Right? It's not going to fall today. So what did Jews do? Sheshet yamim til ketuhu. On 6 days you gather. V'yom ha'shvi'i Shabbat lo yevo. It's not going to be there. V'yom ha'shvi'i yatzu v'na amulkot v'lo matzo. So of course Jews went out. So you want to be done, Lekav Zchut, Levi Yitzchak from Berditchev would have been there. He says, no, they went out to show everybody that there was nothing there. But the rest of us don't go for that. Layish, right? They went out anyway. And
only some.
Who is they?
You know exactly who. No, I'm kidding. Min Ha'am. Of course, we have a theory of conservation of character. So every bad thing is Dasan Varviram, right? Cheech and Chong, Duff Dasan Varviram. Everything which is, that's it, she lost it now, everything bad which happened is Dasan and Viram. Okay, so it was obviously then, Min Ha'am, that's who it was, good. Just in case Rav Levi Yitzchak thought it was something good, V'yomer Hashem Moshe, Ad Anna Ma'antem L'Shmor Mitzvotai V'Torotai. Why do they refuse to follow my commandments? Now, in the very beginning, that's what God, that was exactly what God said. I'm going to give them this to see, are they going to follow, what was the word used all the way up on top? Torotai. Torotai most likely meaning, in the literal sense, my instructions. You can't follow instructions. What's the matter with you people? You can't follow.
It's only attempted. It said, lo til ketu, it was attempted.
Yeah, so what does God say? Vayomer Shema Moshe, ad ona ma'antim l'shmor mitzvotai v'torotai. So whether attempted or not, actually the Mefarshim get involved in that. Re'u ki Hashem natan lechem ha-shabbat. Al keino ten lechem yom ha-shishi lechem yomayim. It's very interesting, because as far as we can tell, God is still speaking. Right? Pasuk Kofchet, Vayomer Shema Moshe, unless Kofchet switches and Moshe is speaking, Re'u ki Hashem natan lechem ha-shabbat. Al keino ten lechem yom ha-shishi lechem yomayim. Shivu ish tachtav, I would say, ishvim kumo b'yom ha-shvi'i, b'yishvetu ha'am b'yom ha-shvi'i. So then they finally were forced to keep Shabbat. So we got Shabbat. The good news is we got Shabbat, but like everything else you notice, it was not a very easy thing.
See, it came through food.
It came through food. Fiat datit. Now look at verse number 2 of the Rashbam. V'yom Hashem, v'yom Erleim, who should be bear Hashem? That's what God said. Only problem is we never find Moshe saying it. The other problem is we didn't find God saying it exactly. V'yom Arishon v'anilo hagadati lachem. God had said that even though I didn't say it. So the Rashbam is learning Pshat. God said to Moshe, but Moshe never actually mentioned this. Why? Moshe loves surprises. I don't know how much this fits into the Moshe that way. Moshe loves surprises. Moshe nitkaven sheyutz mehim kim sheyutzu yimtzu mishneh. Moshe wanted to wait, too much instructions from the very beginning. Let's wait till Friday, they'll get a double portion, and then I'm going to tell them, guess what?
More intense emotional involvement.
So you like the way the Rashbam.
It's a teaching aid. It's a visual.
Yeah. Okay. So the Rashbam. Let's turn this into a teaching moment. The Gemara over here mentions with some sadness, some of Yehuda Maravi, Moli Shemu Yisrael Shabbat Rishona Lo Shelta Ba'uma V'Lashon, that we already messed up right there. Had they kept the first Shabbat, we never would have lost the battle, because of course what's going to happen afterwards is Amalek is going to come and all kinds of other things are going to happen. The world could have been very different if we would have had Emuna. It's also interesting in the battle against Amalek, the hands of Moshe become Emuna, that we have this need for faith. And also notice Moshe pointing heavenward, upward, which seems to be that some message or some lesson that was supposed to be taken from the man was not actually taken properly. Regarding the battle against Amalek, it's quite possible or likely, if you follow the Seder Olam, that it happened the very next week. The next Friday, late afternoon, is when the battle took place. So therefore, the first Shabbat, they didn't necessarily keep it. There were some who broke it. And by the second Shabbat, that's exactly what Amalek tried to do, is let's get them to fight on Shabbat. Now, this is an interesting theme that we've seen a number of times, especially in terms of the battle by Hanukkah, where we find that there were people that were, again, if you follow the book of the Maccabees, that there were Maccabees who were massacred on Shabbat because they refused to fight on Shabbat. Which some people say, oh, the law, the idea of pikuach nefesh wasn't developed yet, that you fight. On the other hand, if the Greeks really made a rule specifically against the Shabbat, then they were caught in an impossible situation. Because during what's called the Shat Hashmad, when there's a specific law that they say that you must not keep Shabbat by forcing you to fight. So now what do you do? If you fight and you break Shabbat, so then it's a shot. Which means, yeah, so they were stuck in a bind right now, and that may have been the reason why they refused to fight on Shabbat, because we have to keep Shabbat. If we don't keep Shabbat, then the Greeks win. So, as I said, there may be just a very simple, clever, I don't know, those two go together, simple and clever, but there may be a very simple, clever response to those who say, oh, that law was not quote-unquote developed yet. But based upon the Seder Olam, that very next Shabbat they didn't keep either, although that was the plan not to keep it. And according to at least one Midrash, the battle with Amalek took place on Friday, and just like Yehoshua made the sun stand still, so did Moshe by the battle against Amalek, and therefore the battle never reached into Shabbat itself. As I said, there is a lot to talk about that. Leave that now. The continuation of this Gemara in Source 3 is that they never would have defeated him. So the Gemara over here sees the coming of Amalek the next Friday as a direct correlation to them not keeping Shabbat on that very first week. So I'm just pointing out, it is the next week. Am I right about that? No, I'm wrong about that. Let me just think a second. I'm right about that. Yes. The first week. Okay, when did this whole thing start? They ran out of food on the 15th. So let's say the 15th would either be Shabbat or Sunday. I don't remember right now, but let's even say the 15th is Sunday. So what would be the next Shabbat? It would be the 20th, the next Friday.
Yeah, it's the 21st.
What?
21st.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it again. The 15th was Shabbat. The 15th was Shabbat, which is when they run out of food. So Sunday is tomorrow is when it starts to fall. So therefore, what would Friday be?
Friday
night.
Friday night.
So Friday. So then the next Friday would be
28th.
So that's right. So that works out then. Kaf Ched Iyar, Yom Yerushalayim, is when the battle against Amalek was. Okay, that works. There's also a lot more to say about that, believe it or not. So let's continue. Rav Yochanan says. Rav Yochanan says, "Mishum of Rishon ben Yochai in Mole Misham of Yisrael Shtei Shabbatot Kilchatan Miyad Negalim." When we keep two Shabbat properly, that will bring to redemption. Okay. Mechilta, source number 4, Vihi b'yom ha-shvi'i v'gomer, Elu michosrei emuna shebehem. So the Mechilta says exactly what we understood. Those who went out, they didn't go out to prove yes, they went out to prove no. They had a lack of emuna. The Chizkuni writes, Hu asher diber Hashem, shenemar lamala v'yom yom ha-shishi. God already had made mention. Again, he didn't say Shabbat, but what did he say? There'll be a double portion on Friday, so that should have already been understood that Shabbat is coming. The et kol ha'odef al re'ui l'shtei seudot shel Shabbat, the arvit shel yom ha'shishi. Again, sorry. The et kol ha'odef al re'ui l'shtei seudot shel shacharit, the arvit shel yom ha'shishi. Hinichu lechem b'mishmeret ad haboker shel Shabbat, gzeirat melech shelo yasriach v'hu adin l'sudat motzai Shabbat. Which is also interesting how it just now grew a lot more. The shtei lechem now just now grew because he's also compensating for the lack of slav. Never said they're getting a double portion of slav. So therefore, we needed food for Friday morning, Friday night, Shabbat morning, Shabbat night, and it didn't even get to the Sudah Shlishit. Apparently they hold like the grub, it says you can be Yotze Sudah Shlishit with a Dvar Torah. You can actually even use that Dvar Torah to be Yotze Sudah Shlishit.
But it does help from the Lava Malka.
Oh, so here you have, they have the Lava Malka. They go down, Ibn Ezra writes, V'hibiyam Shilu redit Haman, Yotzu l'kot l'rot him du divrei Moshe. They went to see if what Moshe is saying. So it's interesting. The Mechilta has a lack of Amunah, so who they have lack of Amunah in? They have lack of Amunah Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Ibn Ezra shifts, they have lack of Amunah Moshe. They don't trust Moshe. You're the one who took us. I mean, it's again, they're following what they'd said before. You're the one who took us out. We don't believe you. Source number 7. Hu asher diber Hashem, Rav Chaim Paltiel from the larger school of the Tosfot. Pirish Rashi, mikan shem Moshe lohi id hadheina. Rashi has Moshe never mentioned before about, again, we saw the Rashbam also going even further on that. Ve'im tomar, heich nit atzel kol kach, v'ukvar nit staden b'mara. How did Moshe never teach them about Shabbat? They were already commanded about Shabbat back by Mara. Now, that's an interesting statement. I mean, again, this is one of the places that we have Shabbat already mentioned, or not, when it says that they traveled for 3 days. It's not in front of you right now. Back in Perek, where are we? In Perek Tedvav, Pasuk of Bed, V'yisam Moshe, Yitzro Miyam Sufi, Yitzro Midbar Shur, V'yichu Shloshi Yamin V'midbar V'lo Matsumayim. They traveled for 3 days with no water. So that means, which 3 days are we here? We just had the 7th day of Pesach, so we're up to around the 24th of Nisan, which is around a month prior to our first Shabbos. Vayavo marata, v'lo yuchol lishtot mayim. They arrived at Mara, they could not drink the water. Why? Ki marim him, because it's bitter. Al kein kreshma mara, therefore it's called Mara. By the way, any of you who just still want to throw amalek into everything, mar, bitter, in Gematria is 240, which is amalek. So you can throw that in as well. Was also okay. 1 second. But Yalinu Ha'am. So here's the first time they complain, which is a reason why I would make a thematic connection. This is the first complaint. But Yalinu Ha'am al Moshe leimor ma nishte. What are we going to drink? But Yitzak el Hashem. He then prays to God. But Yitzak is praying loudly. He was a karla nechassid. But Yitzak el Hashem. He screams out to God. But Yorehu Hashem eats. God points at a tree, v'yishalech el hamayim, v'yimtaku hamayim. Sham sal machoka mishpat v'sham nisal. That's where they were given choka mishpat. Now the word Torah is not here, but the word choka mishpat are here. So if you look at Rashi on this pasuk, Rashi says that at this point they were given miktsot parshiot haTorah, shiit askubahem, and then there's a list which is given Shabbat, Kibra Ba'im, Torah Aduma.
So it's more like a trailer than a movie.
Yes.
So there was no obligation.
Right.
They have to be schooled. They have to learn.
You heard me focus that. It doesn't sound like there's a tzivui at this point, even according to Rashi. Rather, shitaskul means that they should be learning about these things. Again, you shouldn't travel 3 days without water. From here, the Gemara learns that you should have Kriya HaTorah on Monday, Thursday, and Shabbat. So you shouldn't go 3 days without learning. So it's the learning which is important, not necessarily the practice at this point. The other thing which is interesting is, you know, where do you get Parah Aduma thrown in? So the obvious reason to throw in Parah Aduma is because it uses the word chok. The other thing that I was thinking of is that it says that you take the tree and you put it into the water and it makes it sweet. Now the water is bitter and the tree is not sweet, so you take something bitter, you turn something which is bitter, and it comes out sweet, which also reminds me of the process of Parah Aduma, in the sense that you have like this this inverse which is taking place. So maybe that was the right somebody who is Tahor, who touches it, becomes Tame, this person's Tame becomes Tahor. So I was thinking that
two negatives
make a positive, okay.
Another quick question that doesn't even really belong. Has anybody ever done the science, I'm curious about which tree went into the water chemically that might cause, do you have anything on that? Has anybody?
No, you need to find an alchemist. I don't know how many of those are around still.
Are you serious?
So am I.
I'll come to you after class. You'll give me the name of an alchemist.
Okay. So we're still in source number 7. And he says, by Mara. And then he says, Upirish Mori, my teacher taught me, the Shema, you know the next couple letters. Okay, I'll tell you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yitbarach Shemo. Right? Okay. Tziva l'shvot b'shvi'i u'moshe lo yada b'eze yom min ha-shavua l'shvot. Moshe had no idea which day was the seventh day.
This is a Tosaf.
He knew that he had to keep Shabbat, but he had no idea which day Shabbat was. Af agav she'amru mi sheholich b'midbar v'lo yodei matai Shabbat mishmer yom echad l'shisha v'kfar avar yutermi shisha yamim min shenitztava. By the way, I think the reason he gets into this whole trouble is because he thinks that by Mara they were commanded to keep Shabbat. They weren't commanded to keep Shabbat. By Mara, they were commanded l'asek b'Shabbat, to study Shabbat. So that's why he gets himself all worked. They already commanded this, and they commanded, how do they know? So he works himself into a circle here. Mikol makom, kevin sha'aman ha'yared midei yom b'lo shinuya yodeya b'tov, Shadayin lo hidiyah l'shabbat, abal hashta shematzu pishnayim, azakir amar hu asher diber. So according to what he says, when he says hu asher diber, he's not talking about what God said to him now. He's saying, this is what God was talking about by Mara. There's a thing of Shabbat, but I had no idea when Shabbat was, and therefore he... He had no idea when Shabbat was. No,
they didn't have a calendar yet.
They did not have a calendar.
Day one.
Okay, we're going to skip sources 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All of them talk about them breaking Shabbat, and they're all intrigued. What did they do which was wrong? How do they break Shabbat? Do they really break Shabbat? Do they try to break Shabbat? You're going to have some people, because they collected, but they didn't collect because they didn't find anything. Some said, no, they carried out baskets with them in order to collect. It was the baskets. So going outside, how far are they going? All of those commentaries are debating that point. Did they break Shabbat? Or maybe they only tried to break Shabbat. They thought about breaking Shabbat. God is upset because they thought about breaking Shabbat. They actually didn't break Shabbat. So you'll have over there 5 different answers to it, and you can look at that in your free time. Source 14. This Asher Natan Lachem La'Ochla Misheshet Mei Breishet Hayam Mizuman Lachem Bishchakim V'Chshav Natnu Lachem. So the Midrash 14 is interesting because it says the Shabbat existed since the 6 days of creation. Source 14, it existed since the 6 days of creation, but it only existed in heaven. Shabbat was not an earthly concept, and that's why I said that in the very beginning. God creates on 6 days and rested on the seventh, but it never says anything about man. So this was this heavenly idea, and if you want, it's brought down. You want the image, it's brought down with the mun. The mun brings this down to our level. 15 also goes what the sin was. 16 goes what the sin was. And 17 is again, the Hadar's Canaan is also from along the Baalei Tosfot. Hadar's Canaan, he writes in 17, Ki Hashem Natan Lachem HaShabbat, Ki Hashem Natan Lachem Et HaShabbat, Posek Zeh Kof Dal Tevo, Kneged Kof Dal Prakim Shev Nesechet Shabbat, Natan Lachem Lo Nakan Notin, Do Yom Shabbat Natan Lachem Lemnucha, Misha Shehoyu B'Mitzrayim. This is what my mother said before. Already in Egypt they kept Shabbat. They kept Shabbat. Why? So he quotes one midrash, we'll see, maybe one or two others. Lefi shekol habinyanim shehoyu osim b'shabbat, hoyu noflim miyad. Whenever they would work on Shabbat, the buildings fell down. We had a contractor like that also one. He was so frum, it was 6 days of the week, he can also do this. Okay. Uparu sha'al al ma v'lama amalei Moshe lefi she'en lehem minucha. So this makes it sound like this was part of the negotiations they had before they left. But if you look at the Midrash in source number 18, and I'm not saying that he didn't have a different Midrash he's quoting from, but if you look at the Midrash in source 18, Vayar b'sivlotam, when is that? That's when Moshe, the young man, walks out of the palace and he sees the suffering of his brothers. This is right before he gets involved with the taskmaster. He sees that they have no rest. Halach v'amar l'paro, he says to Paro, now he grows up at Paro's house, he goes, remember you sent me to school, I got my MBA on how to make things more efficient? Mi sheish lo evidim einu nach yom echad b'shavua, who made? You can't work your slaves too hard or you're not going to have slaves. V'ilu avdecha im eina tamaniach lahem yom echad b'shavua, he made him. They're going to die unless you give them 1 day a week off. So therefore, here is Moshe's first role of leadership. He sees their suffering, so the Midrash reads into it. So what do? He convinces, this is the prince Moshe, this is Moshe the Egyptian, convinces Paro it would be a very good idea if they give the Jews 1 day a week off, so the Jews get 1 day a week off. Now, according to the Midrash, how long does this last? So that's the next source in 19. It doesn't last indefinitely. So, and I think there's something interesting about this. Source 19 is talking about when Moshe and Aaron come. And here's the, actually, remember I said the people complain? So now I'm going to move it back earlier. Here's really the first complaint. When was the first complaint? This is the third time I said this today, by the way. When is really the first complaint?
Things get worse instead of better.
The things get worse instead of better. And what are the men made to do? They're made to go and to bring their own, to go to the fields and bring their own straw, and that becomes part of the symbol of the additional slavery which has taken place. Now, let's look at source 19. Vayitzav Paro v'yomahu melamid ala rasha shelo ikev lasoti mamra v'zok tatag zeret revi'it, right, and so on, and they make them all go out and go collect all the things. Let's skip towards the bottom. Tichabed ha'avuda al anashim milamid shehoyu biyadam migilot shehoyu mishtashin bahem mishabbat l'shabbat lomar shekadosh baruch hu go alan. So here you also have this reference is that they had these migilot, these books,
documents
that I guess would talk about the idea, the Brit Ben Abtarim, and there will be a Gula. So what did they do on Shabbat when they rested? So this fills in. They learned on Shabbat. That's what. So it's such an interesting midrash. That's what the Jews did. They sat and they learned the books that they had. Paro avoda, which means make their work harder, and they took away the Shabbat. So therefore, it's interesting because we never appreciated this whole backdrop of Shabbat back in Egypt. Moshe says, you're working them too hard and let's make it more efficient and give them a day off. And then when Moshe comes representing the Jews and says, let them go, oh, they have too much free time in their hands, undoing that which Moshe had done all those years before. And now Paro says, okay, make them bring their own things as well. And again, according to the Midrash, what gets canceled at this point is the Shabbat, which they used to have the, more time, and they would sit and they would learn and have belief in the future. Yeah.
This may be reflected in two sets of assertions the birth of his giver. In Yitro, it refers to the metaphysical creation of the world, therefore you have Shabbat. In Dvarim, it talks about the social issue of Shabbat.
So I have a question to you. And you worked it out between Shemot and Dvarim, why each one is in each place?
Yes.
You're very funny. And you heard, this is yours, you heard this from the Rav?
Because, no, partly from the Rav, because Dvarim is Torah Baal Peh.
Okay.
So that
okay.
was the Perush on the...
Okay.
I heard it from the Rav.
Yeah.
I mean, the tefillah that we have on Friday night as opposed
right, to... Right, that's the Torah, it says that.
I heard it from
the Rav. Yeah, that is quoted in the Torah. Okay, good. In my book, the one on Dvarim that I just put out... That I wrote this in the book, and I said I heard this from my father. We have to discuss exactly how sharp you said it. Is that in which is in Yitro? Which is in Yitro? In Yitro talks about Shabbat. What does it say about Shabbat? It talks about creation. In Dvarim, it talks about because you were slaves. So what I wrote is that in Yitro, where it talks about creation, why? Because in Yitro, the former slaves will think that the whole concept of Shabbat is because we used to be slaves and only see it on a social level. So therefore, there's this... inverse taking place. On the other hand, after they've been in the desert for so many years and they're not slaves anymore, right? So then God says, oh, and remember that you were slaves. And that's why there needs to be this reference to slavery as well. So I wrote this in my book. And when I wrote it, and then I remember my father telling me this on the road. I looked, I can't find anybody else who quoted from the Rav. Meanwhile, I published it one someplace and it went online. So what do you do when you're looking for something? I looked all over, I asked you if you remember this as well. That exact point, you didn't remember. So I Googled it. So I Googled, I find my article. But then I find somebody else wrote the exact same thing. Word for word, the exact same thing that I wrote. They didn't quote anything. Word for word, he lifted the whole thing. And just one second, this is more interesting. He lifted the whole thing and he put it on the website of some prominent yeshiva, which I won't mention by name. I see it, but then I realize he just lifted it straight from me, what I wrote. So that wasn't the source. So in the book on Dvarim, what? I called the website and they took it down. They said, oh, yeah, he's done this before. And there was somebody else who did this to me as well, which he said, no, I didn't steal it from you. I took it from someone else. I said, I'm serious. That was his response. Anyway. So in the book, I did write this. And I said, I think I may have heard of this from my father who may have heard it from the Rav, but I don't know. But there is a footnote like this. And I didn't mention the guy who I saw it from because, he wrote it, but... I didn't consider him to be the best proof. Anyway, let's try to wrap this up a little because we do need to get to some kind of an end. What's interesting about this is that here we have, at least in our minds, the clearest place where the Jews are actually involved in agricultural type of work. Even though we did notice that in the very beginning of the slavery, it did speak about agricultural work and it spoke about building buildings, but the idea of them having to go and to gather things together, to gather their straw, was a part of their slavery. It was an aspect of their slavery. So I want to say it over again, what I think needs to be the conclusion of this. There's an aspect of Shabbat, which, again, the Midrash wants to say, Moshe gave the people the ready, because they can't work so hard. That is nothing to do with God creating the 6 days and resting on the seventh, even though deep inside Moshe was most likely, assuming he knew all this, smirking at Paro, this is great, you just gave him Shabbat to keep. The question is also among the people, how much were they aware of this? So that's where the second Midrash comes in and says, no, they were aware of something, an aspect of redemption, and that's these books that they had with them. So we see the Midrash really trying to take the Shabbat back to Egypt, but I do have to stress, because the Shabbat in Egypt is much more about the social aspect of Shabbat. And I agree 100% with what we've discussed before, this idea that, which again, undoubtedly I heard from my father, which one of the Seret HaDibrot speaks about Shabbat in terms of remembering Egypt and the slavery, the human aspect. We work 6 days a week, we need to rest on that seventh day. On the other hand, there's this other aspect of Shabbat, which is not because of we were slaves. It's because God created, and there needs to be this God aspect in our lives, and that's what I see taking place with the month. God is trying to connect them. So, but it's so interesting. You're going to go out to the field and collect. They still have to do something. But you realize how minor this is. I do see this, again, if we'll just take it all the way through. I see, and what I'm about to say is going to be the most obvious thing in the world till I say it theologically. I see the Midbar being a middle path between slavery and being free people in Egypt. Now, that's obvious, but now let's look at it theologically. In Egypt, they were slaves, and for a slave to have one day a week off is unbelievable. But then they become these free people, totally free, and it's almost gone Eden-like, where everything is taken care of, things are coming down from heaven, everything is done, just like in Gan Eden. Well, in Gan Eden, God did work for 6 days and rested on the seventh, which is exactly what the message needs to be over here in the desert. But then they're going to go into the land of Israel and become farmers and start to work again. And when you start to work again, you're going to work hard, you're going to work for 6 days, you're going to need that seventh day off because you're really working, not like the desert. You're not working, you're just going out, you're not even shopping. You're just going out and picking up the thing and putting it into your agala, and you're walking home with it. Now, when they get to the land of Israel, there's going to be this new type of experience. And this new type of experience is going to be where you're going to work the ground and the food will come from the ground. So I just want to work it out one more time. So how does the mun fit in the middle? The mun fits in the middle because what does the mun teach us? We saw the words, the Chumash said it, Lechem in Hashemayim. The last source that I gave you on source 4 is a tshuva of the Ben Yishchai when he asks, what bracha did they make on the man? So he brings from the Rav Azariah Defano, the Ramah, with an ayin, that they said, Hamotzi Lechem in Hashemayim. They said, made a bracha, Hamotzi Lechem in Hashemayim. You think, wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Hamotzi lechem in Hashemayim. But that's going to prepare us to become farmers to know that when we plant, that God is our partner in this, and God is involved in this, and therefore the Shabbat that we'll be keeping in the land of Israel will be a different type of Shabbat. So the slaves needed it in purely social terms. Now they're getting it in theological terms. It all comes from God. God rested on the seventh day, and we move to the land of Israel, and we become farmers. Then it becomes merged together, because we're not working because someone else is making us work. We're working seeing and feeling God as our partner, and therefore this parsha of Mun becomes so important, so central in terms of the process of making us free, but in terms of teaching us, as I said from the very beginning, to lift our heads heavenward. Shabbat Shalom.